broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for April the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We're also convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That is a freedom-loving, fantastic, faith-filled, we're taking America back one heart, one mind, one issue at a time Friday. Quick recap, yesterday's show makes sense. We talked about the idea that Joe Biden will be impeached in November. Steve Bannon says on Newsweek, why Steve Bannon and Newsweeker working together is interesting enough. This idea, though, that we're going to wait to impeach with the national security crisis we have, it seems to me that for the Republicans, it's not really a get the truth done moment. It's a political move. That's why they want to wait till the election time to get. And you say, no, Sam, they want to wait till the election so that they can win the election. And then what they'll do is they'll vote to go ahead and impeach Joe after that. Just like the Republicans got rid of the Education Department. Just like the Republicans got rid of Obamacare, that kind of stuff. Just like they're going to lock Hillary up, that kind of stuff. See, ladies and gentlemen, the culture war continues to rage. And sadly, Republicans and Democrats in the swamp are all part of the same team against we the people and against the rule of law in America, against God's law, against God, family, and country, against the protection of life, liberty, and property. It's easy to see. Believe it or not, new photos and emails show that Joe Biden clearly lied about not knowing Hunter Biden's communist Chinese business associates. Turns out he wrote a letter to help one of them get into college. Turns out he was involved in them to his eyeball, with them to his eyeballs, folks. Now they say here's a dozen times Joe Biden played a role in his son Hunter Biden's business dealings. That's the New York Post, of all places, admitting that reality, ladies and gentlemen. Trump says that he agrees 100% with lock her up, says The Hill. And my response is, then why didn't he do anything about it when he was president? He says he believes in getting to the bottom of the birth certificate scandal from Barack Obama, too. But when he was president, he did nothing to get to the bottom of it. Second hour, we talk about a memo reveals that the State Department assessed in early 2020 that the lab leak was the most likely origin of the COVID virus. Yeah. And now we find out that Fauci ignored even this memo from the State Department. Ladies and gentlemen, criminals everywhere. Trump endorsed former Alaska Governor Sarah Palin in a press release, called her a wonderful patriot. Now, I appreciate that, but look, the governor of Alaska, she got her national stage claim to fame from John McCain, of all people. You think John McCain's the Republican that you'd like to back? See, in my opinion, we've got problems with even all the people that are surrounding Donald Trump and putting Donald Trump in office and all the people that he seems to promote. And I mean, some of them are good, but most of them are, wow, Sarah Palin, is she really a constitutional governor? Was she in the day? What does she know about the Constitution and about the rule of law and about America? Would you support Donald Trump in a 2024 presidential campaign? In other words, would you support Donald Trump for the third time? See, I didn't support him either of the other times, and I would not support him now. You say, Sam, why are you going against Donald Trump now? You've always been so kind to him. I'm not going against Trump, and I am kind to him. When he does a good job and focuses on that which is right, I give him credit. I've always promoted his willingness to stand up for religion and his pro-life stances. I've given him credit for those things big time. But you know what? The border wall, he didn't get much done. Now, did he? Now, it turns out when he couldn't get the money, when he couldn't get Mexico to pay for it, and then when he couldn't get Congress to pay for it, then an Iraq war veteran who led a campaign to raise enough money to build the U.S.-Mexico border wall, now this guy's going to have to plead guilty to defrauding donors and violating U.S. tax law. His name is Brian Kulfage. Well, I mentioned to you, ladies and gentlemen, that Donald Trump didn't build hardly any wall. It's debatable about how much wall he even built. But even if you accept that he built some wall, how much? You know, and to what standards? You know, in the beginning, it was a high, beautiful, you know, 2,000-mile-long border wall. Look, the Mexicans didn't pay for it. Congress didn't pay for it. Some guy tried to, I don't know, be involved with Donald Trump and private money raised for it. Now this guy's all encased in scandal, ensconced in scandal. And you look at this and go, wow. And I look at it and say, how much of the wall did Donald build? Some say 15 miles, say 25 miles. Some say, well, he actually got 300 or 400 miles done, but it was all just repairs on the wall. But my response is compare the wall to what was intended or claimed at the beginning to what it is now. Did we even build the wall? And the answer is not hardly. That's basically what I had said yesterday on the radio. But Chris Carlson with us. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Yes, sir. Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson reporting for duty, sir.
You're very welcome. And furthermore, that I said Greg Abbott is pulling a political stunt. Greg Abbott announced, the governor of Texas, that Texas will provide border communities with charter buses to transport the migrants to the steps of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C., saying, hey, if Biden believes we have all the ways to take care of them, ship them to Biden's doorstep and let Biden do it. And I said that was nothing but a political stunt ahead of the elections, just like this idea that we're going to impeach Joe Biden stuff. All I'm telling you is they're into political theater. They're desperate to get reelected, making promises they'll never keep, as we see. And I submit to you the border wall is one of them. I know that the Republican Party did not back Trump. I get all that. I also get the fact that, hey, not a lot of wall was built. That was my claim. But then, Chris, you texted me and said, hey, man, it's not that way, buddy.
Well, as far as the shipping migrants up to Washington, D.C., I mean, it's a clever symbolic stunt on the part of. Now, what did I disagree with you on? Heaven forbid I disagree with the great Sam Bushman.
I mean, you're telling me I'm wrong on the border wall. You're going to set me straight on the facts on the border wall, you know?
Well, no. Yeah. You said he didn't build any wall. And I said, no, he built 15 miles of it, Sam. I mean, that's
yeah, but on the internet, on the internet, there's articles okay. saying he only built 5 miles of real border. So as I wisely told you yesterday, there's a big debate on how much wall he built.
Well, and you're shortchanging Trump by 10 miles.
What qualifies as the wall, though? Does it have to be the big, beautiful wall he talked about in the first place? Then later people debated the wall. Then it was like, well, we're going to put different kinds of walls in different places. And then it was like, well, we repaired a lot of wall. And then it was like, well, the Mexicans aren't really paying for it. And then it was like, well, the taxpayers aren't going to pay. Well, wait a minute. Congress isn't going to pay for it. The taxpayers will by hook. And now we got this scandalous guy pleading, copping a plea to a scandal. I'm just telling you the whole thing. No one in any of their right minds can tell me any of that was a success.
No. And the whole time illegal aliens were flooding over the border, even during the 4 years of Donald Trump's presidency, you know, the more things change, the more they stay the same, Sam. I mean, people wanted to glam onto this man as their political savior. He said the right things, but he never really did what he was perfectly capable of doing. We could go on and on about the wall. So according to my information from the great Rick Wiles from TrueNews.com, he built about 15 miles of new wall. The other 350 miles was just repairing the old wall. That's what I heard from him. I generally trust Rick Wiles, but I do trust Sam Bushman as well. So no matter
how much wall was built, whether you agree with the 15 miles claimed by Rick or you believe in the 5 miles claimed by other news sources, or whether you believe in how much was repaired, look, the border is about 2,000 miles long. And even if you built 400, that's a stretch, miles. Even if you call those repairs, rebuilding, and et cetera, you're not even at 20%, or you're barely at 20%, even at best anyway. So that's 80% of the wall not done. And now we got to debate the kinds of walls, because what kind of wall was he going to build? In the beginning, it was a big, beautiful wall, you know, but then we kind of devolved into, well, fences count. Any part of the wall counts. If you just repair part of a wall, is that the big, beautiful wall we're talking about? See, I think even at that 20%, it's a huge stretch. So what kind of a wall was Donald going to build, right?
Yeah, it was a scam. It was rhetoric, and people bought into it. It worked. It worked because people accepted every word that came out of that man's mouth, at least if you're a conservative. And that's all that Donald Trump really cared about. I think the guy loves the nation. I really don't, Sam. And that's my opinion. I hope I'm wrong, because it looks like he might be running in 2024. We might have Donald Trump 2.0, and it's not going to be any different than Donald Trump 1.0.
He's there will be. He'll be more blazing and more belligerent. His second attempt to run. Yeah. The first one was very grassrootsy. The second one was very deep state-esque, if you ask me. The third one will be even more so. For example, the first go-round, he didn't take money from government for his campaign, comparatively speaking. Now, you know, this next time he took a bunch of money from government. But the Trump wall, you know, Trump talked about a wall made of precast concrete slabs. But then after he became president, well, what did the wall evolve to? It's like any piece of wall counted. But that's not the same at all from what he promised at the 2016 election, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I'm not here to attack Trump, but I am here to tell the truth. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about the big, beautiful wall that Donald built, and he said he'd have Mexico pay for it. Virtually none of it came true, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care what way you want to stretch and say he repaired certain parts, you know, etc. Chance we're still heard about that on the 2020 rallies, if you will, too. And I don't see that any of it really happened at all. None of it, really, right? Even if you talk about 450 miles of the wall, it's what, 20%? All right, the claim is outrageous. It never happened at all, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm not here to attack Trump on this, but I am here to tell the truth about it. Anyway, Chris, there's debates about the details, but I think it's clear that for anybody who's honest about what really where we are or whatever, hey, it never got built, Chris.
Well, the elephant in the room, Sam, should be the fact that he could have stationed military troops on the border. And I know that would have militarized our border, but we do, in fact, have an invasion That's what the military is all about, repelling invasions. And it's right in the Constitution. He had that constitutional power from day one. He never used it. Why not? And then he could have worked on building the wall after he had established troops on the border. He did not do that. And if a dummy like I can figure that out, certainly a brilliant man like Donald Trump should have been able to figure that out, Sam.
Well, that's the problem. You got to kind of wonder, did he figure it out? You know, we assume Trump is one of us and one of the good guys and that he's always wanting to do right. But when Trump says, I'll have Mexico pay for that wall, okay, that even never happened. Whether you debate if we built it or not, it wasn't even paid for, the deal. All right, now, Miss Jackson confirmed to the Supreme Court, literally Mitt Romney claps for her as all the other Republicans walk out in a partisan divide. What a shame that is, Chris.
Well, the only disappointment I have with Mitt Romney is he doesn't just come out and declare the fact that he's a Democrat because he's acting like one. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You know, we knew who Mitt Romney was. He was a lifelong Democrat. And he, even though in the state of Massachusetts, he governed like a Democrat. And we had that 8-year example to draw back on as Americans. To look back on. Yet we assumed that when he came to Utah to run as the senator from this great state, that somehow he would change his stripes. He did not. And that's a shame on us because we knew who he was because he was pro-choice for all those years as the governor of the state of Massachusetts. And he ruled as a Democrat during that time, even though he ran under the Republican ticket. So, shame on us, Sam. You know, and in a republic, it comes down to the people. The people are ultimately going to be held accountable for their leaders. You can't blame it on them. In a dictatorship, we can blame it on the dictator because he's not accountable to the people. But we ultimately have the power to vote in or out of office whomever we deem as worthy of our vote. And we're doing a lousy job of that, or a great job if you want to look at our republic as a failed republic. We're doing a great job of that.
Yes, in my opinion, we're doing a very poor job. Part of it, though, we would claim is, hey, there's vote fraud going on. Look, folks, when you allow America over a COVID crisis that we've proven to be bogus, I'm not saying COVID doesn't exist. I'm just telling you that it's not the crisis required to shut down all society and literally think every healthy person is ill and to try to pretend that that reality or that threat somehow suspends the supreme law of the land or suspends our constitution. That's where the lies are, okay? I'm not debating that COVID exists. I'm telling you, though, that what we've done in the name of COVID is the great big scandal lie. And the fact is we've used that then to literally circumvent all precincts in America, all 100,000-plus precincts, and we go, hey, mail-in voting is fine. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you jettison the custody of ballots to that degree, and then there's vote fraud and you wonder why, and you allow Hillary Clinton and the DNC to literally fund a dossier against Trump that's false and then have records of them spying on him, and they all get caught in these scandals. And so then you basically suppress Trump by all kinds of allegations against him that are false, and then you promote Joe Biden by pretending there's no scandals in Joe's closet when you know there's tons that actually have real legs. You've literally committed vote fraud. So they did that. They used the COVID. They used everything at their disposal to make it where, hey, you know, suppress Trump, promote Biden, commit vote fraud at the polls by circumventing all the precincts and all the checks and balances that made America great and protected America from scandal. And there you have it. So anyway, I don't know really what to say about it. But, you know, Forbes does an article about meet the 10 richest people in the world. Elon Musk is number one, and then it goes down from there. But, man, you know, we have created a group of elites inside and outside of government that are absolutely betraying the greatest country on the face of the earth. And you look at Will Smith and the scandal about the Chris Rock Oscars slap, and it turns out now people are saying it was a cleverly disguised effort for the big pharma folks to sell their hair products that relate to the problem that Will's wife has with her hair or whatever, or the loss of hair, and that the drug companies have a way to fix it. So was it a clever way to by hook or by crook kind of put drugs on the people's minds as their new drugs come out? I don't know if that's what it was, or if it was just to advance Chris Rock's career or I don't know what the agenda really was. All I know is this. If you believe that was all by accident, that Will just went off crazy and slapped somebody and no one did anything about it, no one got arrested, no one, when it was on national TV and literally around the world, but yet no repercussions. Hey, it was by design for a greater purpose. Make no mistake, it was not by accident. That's what I would claim. All right, any final comments on any of that?
Not really, except for the fact that we need to realize that Elon Musk is the government contractor with his Starlink satellite system and his rockets that jettison those satellites into space. He is a government contractor, so it comes to me as no surprise that he's now the richest man in the world. He's getting money, Federal Reserve notes, not from us. We're losing the value of our money as the government creates new money to pay people like Elon Musk to become the richest men in the world. So, yeah, that's my only comment on what you said there. And we are going to, that's a good segue to what we're going to talk about, Sam, the Federal Reserve System and Ron Paul's book, In the Fed. Did you want to introduce that?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. All I can tell you is this, folks. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And I see that in the Jackson case. I see that in the border wall case. I see that in we are always looking for a savior, a king almost, if you will. We did that with Barack Obama. We do that with Trump. And we're doing it with our own money, Chris.
We certainly are. And in a republic, like I said, Sam, it comes down to the people. The people get the government that they tolerate, okay? We need to push back. So I will begin, since you quoted scripture, I will begin with a reference to something that the Savior did in the New Testament. It will be recalled that there is only one recorded incident in the Bible where Jesus took violent actions against his enemies. That was when he overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple, proclaiming, quote, "My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves." And that can be found in Mark 11:17, Sam. So disgusted was the Savior of the world with this violation of the sanctity of the temple, with the predatory practice of usury, which, by the way, is forbidden by the law of Moses, that the Prince of Peace felt compelled to use violent force to expel the practitioners thereof from his father's house. And that same practice, usury, they didn't use fiat money. That would come later. But that same practice of usury, and now the onerous practice of fiat currency, is being perpetrated on the American people and has been for the last 108 years, Sam. And we're going to talk about that. So Ron Paul wrote a book, In the Fed, and Ron Paul is very qualified to talk about this because he's interviewed the likes of Ben Bernanke and Alan Greenspan and other people in Washington, D.C., who are perpetrating this crime on the American people. And let's go ahead and start with Chapter 1. I think it's very instructive of why it is important that we end the Fed. Chapter 1 is entitled, Why You Should Care. And this is a quote that I took from the book. It says, "It's my own view," and this is Ron Paul speaking, "that ending the Fed would address the most vexing problems of politics in our time. It would bring an end to dollar depreciation. We're seeing that right now in the form of inflation. It would take away from government the means to fund endless wars. It would curb the government's attacks on the civil liberties of Americans, stop its vast debt accumulation that will be paid by future generations." And I disagree with him on that. I don't think that the principal will ever be repaid, because if we paid off the principal, it would extinguish money supply. And we've talked about that in the past. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, but let's talk about paying off the principal in a minute, because I don't think it's possible. And I'm going to explain the fundamentals that undergird the Federal Reserve to make my point. We'll have Chris Carlson respond to that incredible book that Ron Paul wrote, End the Fed. We can't even get them to audit the Fed, much less end the Fed, ladies and gentlemen. Boy, howdy, do we have a lot of work to do, huh? Quick pause, Liberty Roundtable Live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
On Friday, Russian soldiers continue to kill fleeing civilians in their invasion of Ukraine. Finland, also a neighbor of Russia, wants to become a member of NATO. Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg on Friday morning, CNBC.
Yes, that is a direct result of the war in Ukraine. Finland has a very long border with Russia, 1,300 kilometers. But if Finland decides to apply for membership, I'm confident that NATO allies will warmly welcome them.
Andrew McCutchen got the first hit of the year in Major League Baseball's opening day Thursday at Wrigley Field. Nico Horner hit the first home run of 2022. He connected off a pitcher who used an electronic wristband to receive his signals from the catcher. And the Cleveland Guardians took to the field for the very first time. Thanks for listening, and a TGIF to you, my friend. We are USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-444-9336. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-444-9336. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-444-9336. 800-444-9336.
As the Biden administration plans to drop Title 42, this will allow the administration to get more illegal immigrants into the United States faster. Representative Barry Loudermilk, the Republican from Georgia on Newsmax, says as long as Democrats are running the House, his hands are tied.
The House is a dictatorship. That's the way it's designed. We have very little authority and power as long as all the Democrats are holding together, locked together, arm in arm, to follow Nancy Pelosi. Many of them are going to follow her right off a cliff. And so it's very frustrating on our end. So it's refreshing to see governors like Governor Abbott and DeSantis taking the bull by the horns and doing something at the state level.
As Europe prepares to join the United States in hitting the Kremlin with tighter sanctions for its war in Ukraine, there are plenty of signs that Russia is finding a way around the financial blockage. Bloomberg Economics expects Russia will earn about $320 billion from energy exports this year. That's up more than a third from 2021. USA Radio News.
All right, one of the realities that you understand when you read Ron Paul's incredible book, End the Fed, you begin to understand some things that really put building blocks in order. Okay, so End the Fed's a great book, but you learn this from a variety of sources, okay? You learn that the Federal Reserve works like this. First off, the problem is it's got a monopoly status on money. The only money in America, contrary to the Constitution, is this paper money created by the Federal Reserve. You could say, no, that's not true, Sam. You got, you know, pennies and dimes and nickels. Okay, fine. But all the bills are Federal Reserve stuff. So let me get this straight. When you have one source of money, and that source of money has interest attached to it, then by factual reality, ladies and gentlemen, you can never get out of, listen carefully, you can never get out of debt. So pretend I'm the Fed for a second and Chris is the public. Chris, I'm going to lend you a dollar. There you go. You got a dollar now. But understand that now you owe me $1.03 because of interest. So $1.03. How are you going to pay me back? There's one source of money.
Could you loan me 3 pennies?
No, I can't loan you 3 pennies, but I can loan you another dollar.
Oh,
I don't do pennies,
now
remember?
I got $2.
Good. Now you got $2, right. But you owe me $2.06 now.
Wait, what? Sounds
yeah,
like a scam, Sam. What are you doing to me, buddy?
Okay, so see, that's exactly what's going on with the Federal Reserve, ladies and gentlemen. It is a system designed by nature to be fiat, fake, to fail. Okay, it's criminal in its enterprise. It not only does it do all that, but in addition, though, hey, I take a dollar bill a $5 bill, a $10 bill, a $20, $100, a $50, whatever, and I basically tell you that it's face value. But it cost me like 2.5 cents to create. So not only am I charging you face value and ripping you off from the get-go, but then I'm charging you interest, assuring that you can never pay it back if there's one source of money. Never. Okay, that's the fraud
that's why they call
that Ron Paul's book highlights in detail.
It does. And that's why they call them dollar bills. They are bills. We owe them back to the Federal Reserve with interest. Just, you know, as a reminder of what we're dealing with here. Yes. And just, let me just round out that quote. That very good analogy, Sam. Thank you. He goes on to say, and one other thing that the abolition of the Federal Reserve System would abolish is it would arrest its massive expansion of the welfare state that has turned us into a nation of dependents. And then one more last sentence, without the Fed, the government would have to live within its means, Sam. Just like you and I have to live within our means, the government would have to do the same. And every time they wanted to increase spending for the welfare state, guess what they would have to do? They would have to increase taxes. And people would wake up and say, wait, what? I got to pay more taxes? And they would be more aware of government activities that are injurious to our financial situation. But the government doesn't want to do that. They want to hide it behind the ability to print fiat currency. And then we see that in the form of inflation. And we scratch our heads and say, wow, I wonder why the money supply is being inflated and why things are going up. And we don't blame it on the government per se. Hopefully, you know, you and I do, obviously, but most people, they don't. They blame it on the stores that they buy their food from or the gas stations where they buy their gas from. They don't see the connection. Anyway, I've gone on ad nauseum on that. So that's chapter one, why you should care. Okay. You want to talk about some of the origins of the Fed?
The other reason you should care really quick before we move on to the other chapters in the book that are really important. The other reason you should care, ladies and gentlemen, is not only is it dishonest, which is, in my opinion, one of the biggest, you know, problems here. The honesty is the issue is the way I always like to say it. Okay. Honesty is the issue. The other problem, though, besides the honesty question, is that it's a moral hazard. Okay, when government has so much money to do anything they want, it's unlimited what they can do with that money. They can spy on all of us through the FBI, the CIA, the Justice Department. They can wage unending war. Have you noticed there's wars and rumors of wars without end? Okay, the Federal Reserve is at the core of all this. They can print so much money, they turn the states into political puppets or subdivisions of the Fed. Okay, the states used to have to balance their own budgets. But anybody can balance a budget if you get a big old siphon in from somewhere else that has unlimited, you know, capacity, so to speak. Okay, the problem is honesty, and the moral hazard is why you should care. Chris?
Yeah. So to give you an example, California just recently had about a $150 billion deficit on its books. That has been erased thanks to Donald Trump and the COVID-19 pandemic, because the states distributed money that was, I guess, intended to address the COVID-19 issue, but they used it to pay off their debt. Now California has been sent a message that, hey, we can continue to spend with reckless abandon, and we can get away with it because we are so closely tied to the federal government that practically they have lost their ability to govern independent of the federal government. And that's scary. That's something the founding fathers deliberately tried to create in the Constitution to not happen. Anyway, so let's go to chapter two, the origin and nature of the Fed. So the comptroller of the currency in 1914 said this, Sam. It said that the Federal Reserve, which was just newly created, because remember, it was created in 1913, but it wasn't established until the year later because it was passed in Congress 2 days before Christmas. He says it supplies a circulating medium absolutely safe. And he goes on to say, under the operation of this law, such financial and commercial crises or panics as this country experienced in 1873, in 1893, and again in 1907, with the attendant misfortunes and prostrations, seem to be mathematically impossible. After having made that statement, Sam, 15 years later, we had what is called the Great Depression, which put the lie to that statement. In theory, maybe they could have prevented economic downturns, but in practice, they are actually using them to manipulate the public and to bring about their deep state agenda. And we can talk about the Great Depression if you want. He goes on ad nauseum about that. But before we do, let's stay on chapter two for a minute. So Ron Paul says, and I'll just read word for word, the goods and services you could buy for a dollar in 1913 now cost nearly $21. And he breaks that down to being that we've lost 95 cents out of every dollar that
we had. Yeah, and he wrote this book quite a while ago. Now the number's about $37, Chris.
Yeah, because that was 2000. Yeah, that was 13 years ago that he wrote it. Yeah. Yeah, everything changes. Because we're doubling down on inflation. We're doubling down on the printing of money. We're, all of these things, it's like the hockey stick that they use to scare us into believing in climate change. That hockey stick is actually relevant when it comes to inflation and the devaluing of our dollar. We're at the near the tip of that hockey stick at this point. Anyway, so that's that. We've lost a tremendous amount of the value of our dollar. Now, here's the insidious thing. We don't see the dollars leaving our bank accounts. We don't see the dollars leaving our billfolds. We only see the value being depreciated. And again, we don't associate that with the government, which we should, because it's the Federal Reserve System is what we should blame it on. Anyway. He talks about how we've been told a lie about the Great Depression. The Great Depression was actually caused by the Federal Reserve System. Did you know that, Sam?
Oh, yeah. Ladies mm-hmm. and gentlemen, we've never had such extreme volatility. This is the moral hazard that I'm talking about. We have never had such extreme volatility before the Federal Reserve. Federal Reserve was designed to prevent booms and busts in the economy, but what it really does is causes everything it suggests it prevents. We had swings because sometimes there'd be shortages of product and this and that, but the swings were relatively mild until the Federal Reserve got involved. Now they're made 10 times worse. Now, though, we pretend we can ignore them. And so far, you know, with the COVID money and all the handouts and everything else, we've pretended to ignore them. But eventually what happens is you can't rob Peter to pay Paul. Eventually what happens is honesty becomes the issue. And then this moral hazard becomes the issue to where you cannot just do whatever you want without the consequences being felt. And the Fed's dealing with this right now. They're going, well, how do we raise interest rates but not cause a meltdown in the markets? And, well, you know what? It eventually will get away from them like all fiat currencies do, Chris.
Yep, from the beginning of time, especially when they're not backed by bullion like gold and silver, which we used to be. Within our lifetime, Sam, we were backed by gold. And I think we went off the silver standard in 65. But anyway, getting back to the Great Depression, they promised us, the supporters of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 promised us that they were implementing this program specifically to prevent depressions and recessions. And we'll talk about that when we get back from break.
Liberty Roundtable Live in seconds. Chris Carlson, we're reviewing Ron Paul's book, End the Fed. You got to read it, ladies and gentlemen.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches. In wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpochTimes.com.
All right, back with you live. Chris Carlson breaking down Ron Paul's book and the Fed. We're talking about the Great Depression, ladies and gentlemen, caused by the Federal Reserve. Chris?
Yes, sir. So, quoting from Ron Paul's book, In the Fed, if there's one book that the Washington establishment should read now, it's Rothbard's book, America's Great Depression. In this book, he demonstrates that it was the Fed that created the late 1920s boom that led to the bust and Hoover's interventions that prolonged the Great Depression. And I would add to that Franklin Delano Roosevelt's interventions that prolonged the Depression. We didn't get out of the Depression, Sam, if you'll recall, until the beginning of World War II. And even modern-day economists admit that. So for approximately 10 years, we were languishing in economic stagnation because of the intermeddlings of the president and, of course, the Fed. Between 1929 and 1933, Sam, do you know what the Federal Reserve did? Well, let's back up just a little bit. Throughout the 20s, they expanded the money supply. And you remember everybody and their dog was investing in the stock market. It was this big phenomenon. You know, everybody can become a millionaire by investing in the stock market. And a lot of people did, because throughout the 20s, the Federal Reserve expanded the money supply steadily. And in starting in 1929, they started to shrink the money supply. And this is factual. Between 1929 and 1933, the Federal Reserve System actually shrunk the money supply 33%. And that is what caused both the boom and then the bust.
And now they're doing just the opposite. Now they're just doing the opposite, printing way too much money. The bottom line, though, is the results will be the same, Chris. Because it doesn't matter how extreme you get, eventually it will be that extreme moral hazard that I speak of that runs it off the rails. Eventually, you will not be able to rein it back in time. You'll misjudge your boom and bust forcing, if you will, and you'll eventually lose the game. Because remember, it's inflationary by nature. Interest guarantees inflation will happen.
Yep. And we're experiencing that. We're continually inflating the bubble. I thought the bubble would pop at the end of Donald Trump's presidency. I made that prediction. There was a slight downturn, but we're still inflating that bubble. And eventually, those chickens are going to come home to roost. But if I could go back just momentarily to that statement about the Federal Reserve causing the Great Depression, Ben Bernanke on November 8th of 2002, Sam, in a speech given at a conference to honor Milton Friedman, actually admitted as much. Do you want me to read that quote? And this is in his book as well. This is Ben Bernanke, the former head of the Fed, Ben Bernanke. So he's got credentials. He said, regarding the Great Depression, we did it. We're very sorry. We won't do it again. He actually said that. He admitted it. Okay. How many Americans have heard that quote? Probably very few, I would suspect, Sam. But they need to hear that. They need to realize that we're operating under a fraudulent, debt-based fiat money system that is destroying us financially. And we're blaming it on the government. We're blaming it on the president, our congressmen, and well, not ours. It's always the other guys, right? We don't know the source of our problem, Sam. In order to fix this nation, we must first address the monetary issue that undergirds it. And we'll someday not undergird it. It will implode in on itself. It'll because it is designed, like you said, and I don't think we can repeat this enough. The system is designed to fail. Within it, built within it, is the seeds of its own destruction, Sam. You cannot continually accumulate debt and continually enrich the stockholders, the Federal Reserve System, while we are continually being indebted deeper and deeper and deeper. Eventually, it will fail. And the sad thing about it is economists, most economists, understand that phenomenon, yet they're not sounding the alarm bells, and they really should. Anyway, back to you, Sam.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Ron Paul's book, in my opinion, is a treasure trove of nuggets. It really highlights in detail why Ron Paul really is the guy to write the book. Number one, he sat on a bunch of different committees in Congress relating to money. He's stood up for honest money. His research regarding honest money is stellar. He really highlights the appropriate economics that matter most, if you will. And in his chapters, why don't you read a few of the chapter headings to kind of give people a flavor for the topics focused on, Chris?
Yeah, and I didn't cover, we weren't planning on covering them all. He had a conversation with Alan Greenspan, which was interesting. So Alan Greenspan, this is something we need to cover. In 1966, he wrote an article in a publication associated with Ayn Rand, called Gold and Economic Freedom. Back in the 60s, Alan Greenspan, Sam, was a promoter of a gold-backed currency. But, of course, he became
the
Fed chief.
Yes, he got the nod to be the chief of the dishonest, immoral money supply, and, hey, he changed his tune. Then he went right back after he got out. He went back to understanding the truth.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, when you're paid to deny reality, you tend to deny reality, unless you're one of those rare birds like you and me, Sam, who insist on being honest, true, chaste, and benevolent throughout our lives. And unfortunately, most people have a price tag. Some are higher than others. From 1987 till 2006, Greenspan was the chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. He was awarded. Listen to what he how he was rewarded for his dishonesty, Sam. He was awarded the Presidential Medal of Honor by George W. Bush. And I don't have a year on that. But in 2000, the French government awarded him the Legion of Honor. And in 2002, the Queen Elizabeth II of the United Kingdom named him an honorary knight of the British Empire. For his dishonesty, he was rewarded lavishly. And that's sad because that's what they do. That's what they do. The worst politician or bureaucrat you are, the more praise and awards are lavished upon you. And that's the system under which we now operate.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This has been going on, and it's a slow but steady erosion of everything we hold dear, ladies and gentlemen. First off, let's create money out of thin air and pretend it has face value. That's the first dishonest lie. Then let's charge interest on that money, assuring that it can never be paid back when there's only one source. In other words, monopoly on money. Okay, then the moral hazard, though, when men and women decide that, hey, because they have this unlimited treasure trove of dishonest money, then they can do whatever they want to. So they force booms, force busts, force war, force, again, like COVID, we either spend too much money, creating a hazard, or we retract the money supply, creating too much hazard. And it leaves men and women at the helm of this dishonest moral hazard. That's the problem. And until we can educate enough people about this to do something about it, we'll never make progress. The problem is it can never be paid back, though. Look, no one even can tell me what $30 trillion is, Chris. And that's really the point. What is even $1 trillion, much less $30 trillion? You can't even count to $1 trillion in your lifetime. Nobody can explain to me in real terms what $1 trillion is.
No, you can't wrap your mind around that amount of money, Sam. It's mind-boggling. It's overwhelming. But there are literally trillionaires in this world. You don't think that those people have a lot more influence and power than our politicians who are mere millionaires? They do. So who do you think is running this country? Do you think Joe Biden's making all the decisions he's making by himself? The guy can't even remember his name half the time. Of course not. we need to look behind that curtain and see who's really operating the wizard on the big screen that we're always presented and told that these are the decision makers. No, the decision makers are the people that have the money. The golden rule states that he who has the gold makes all the rules. And they have their puppets that they present on your TV screen and on your computer screen that you unwittingly think is the person in charge of the show. He's not. I would like to talk a little bit about another scripture since we're quoting scriptures. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. I often hear people who put an inordinate amount of trust in government institutions say that the Federal Reserve System is justified by Jesus' statement to render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And I'm sure you're familiar with that scripture, Sam. I could not have come up with a more perverted, irrational, and ridiculous statement. First of all, the Jewish people of Jesus' time were justifiably under the yoke of Roman bondage. Because of their having rejected God's laws, they were being punished with a requirement that they pay tribute to Caesar. By genuflecting to a modern-day Roman Empire, we admit that we, like the Jews of Jesus' time, deserve to be punished under the yoke of an oppressive financial regime, the Federal Reserve System. So maybe there is some truth to this, but do people who oppose this unconstitutional system, Sam, like you and me, deserve to be punished for other people's actions or lack thereof? I don't think so. So that's the first reason that I oppose the Fed. We people like you and me, Sam, that understand that we're being scammed on a regular basis, don't deserve to be have this yoke placed on our necks. Second of all, in order for Congress to alter the Constitution, which clearly gives them the power and authority to, quote, coin money and regulate the value thereof, unquote, they would have to amend the Constitution in order to transfer that power to a foreign banking cartel, which they have not done. So on many levels, the Federal Reserve System under which we are now toiling is wrong. And it's about time that we come to the point where we push this agenda. And I talk about what we can do about it. You talked about Sarah Palin, you know, she's going to be putting her hat in the ring to run for federal office. Sam, have you ever heard her talk about ending the Fed? All of these conservative heroes that we put out there that, you know, we back and, you know, we encourage to run for office. Boy, I'd vote for that person. Or I'd vote for that lady. Not once have you ever heard them engage in a conversation about ending the Federal Reserve System, which is, I'm not going to go and say the root of our evils, although the love of money is the root of all evil. But it certainly would eliminate a lot of the shenanigans that we are coping with nowadays. And I don't give them my sacred vote. I ended that 20 years ago. And I would encourage other people to do the same. And I don't care how bad the other candidate running against them is. I don't give my vote to anybody that doesn't address the Federal Reserve System as the problem that it is in our country, stealing our money on a regular basis. I just don't do it.
Well, even Alan Greenspan admits that moral hazard and fraud, that's the honesty issue that I'm talking about, moral hazard and fraud are the key failure issues, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really what you need to know about this book, folks, okay? They all know it, but they don't care because they're all into filthy lucre, dishonesty, and they're creating a moral hazard that will eventually be the undermining of this nation. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. We talked about the book review of Ron Paul's book, End the Fed. We got to audit and end the Fed, and we got to do it sooner than later, or they will eventually use the failure of the Fed to move us into a global fiat money system. The great jubilee, the great reset will take place, and then they'll start all over. Meanwhile, you and I will become serfs on the very land our founding fathers bled, died, and gave their fortunes and sacred honors for. For Chris Carlson and Sam Bushman, finish it up, Chris.
Without God, we cannot win. With God, we cannot lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. Lieutenant Carlson and liberty-loving patriots everywhere, continuing our duties, sir.
God save the Republic.